Well, hello and welcome, everybody, to the Voices of Courage show. Today, we have a really fun show for you. And I'm going to call this show The Courage to Fight for Our Freedom. And you'll understand that title as we move along here. You know, right now we live in an age that's becoming more and more important to excel into going into the unknown and trying to figure things out. You know, it takes courage to do that, courage to explore things that we don't really know what the next step is going to be. It takes courage to go in and maybe even fail at things that we haven't done before, right? A lot of people are going through that right now. We're going through a lot of transitions. You know, a lot of people are changing their work. Some of them have lost their businesses. Some of them have lost their health. Some of them have lost family members. And my heart goes out to all of you that have gone through those kind of challenges. But, you know, I want to say this, that it's important to understand that, you know, most of our learning comes from having different experiences. And, you know, a lot of people don't mind having different points of view or different experiences. You know, a lot of people are, you know, starting new businesses. They're volunteering for projects. They're opening their hearts and minds to share new points of view. And, you know, they're asking lots of people for feedback, you know, but some people aren't like that, right? So we need to be kind of aware of those people. You know, these are the people who are unwilling to take risks. They seem guarded, maybe even closed-lipped. And why? Because they fear making mistakes. They fear looking bad. They rarely step out of their comfort zone. In fact, most of these people are run by many fears, and they don't even know it. And I hope you're not one of those people, but even if you are, it's okay. You can change if you're willing to acknowledge some of those fears. Let me ask you this. Have you ever wondered why so many people are run by fears today? Think about that. Why is that? I mean, I know you see him all over the place. I see him in the grocery stores. I see him outside running with their masks on. I wonder who put that in their mind. But, you know, I don't want to pick on people with masks. I mean, a lot of people wear masks because they feel safe, they feel secure, and they feel like they're helping them stem the virus. But I think there's a common sense line that's around that, don't you? And sometimes people cross over into just following blindly what other people have told them. And a lot of times when we do that, I think that's where the fear starts. So I'm thinking that I want to talk to you a little bit more about this and, you know, how we break these kind of patterns. But first, I got to take a quick break. So we'll be right back.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
Well, welcome back. So listen, wouldn't you agree perception controls your reality? You know, so if you're living from the outside in, if you're perceiving things all the time from the outside and you're not really tuned into your own wisdom, your own understanding, your own soul, then you're subject to a lot of ups and downs, a lot of upsets, a lot of worry, concern, fears, and all that stuff that goes with that, right? But if you want to control your world, if you want to start to control your destiny, then it's really important to start to live from the inside out. You know, it's kind of an all-encompassing inside job is what I want to say, living within our own spirit. And, you know, if you are a person that wants to really control their life in a greater way, then you have to start looking at what's working and what's not working in your life, right? And you have to start to go within your own heart to start to think about, well, what can I do to improve, develop, change, grow, or evolve? You know, we're all in this big school of life, right? And if you're not growing through learning your lessons consciously, what's happening is you're in a place where you're learning through pain, misery, suffering, worry, and fear, and everything else. And, you know, it's not that we all don't experience those sense of emotions now and then, but if you're predominantly in that place and you're really worried about the outcome of your life and the outcome of the government and the outcome of what's going to happen, I think you're in the wrong place. And here's what I mean by that. I believe that, let's take the presidential election right now because it's up. So do you have a mindset that you are going to be successful whether Biden wins or Trump wins? Are you going to be successful either way? Or are you one of the people that are saying, I'm going to leave the country, I can't deal with this if this guy wins or that guy wins? Are you one of the people that are just afraid that this new form of government, if we have a new president, is going to really impact you in such a negative way that you really need to worry about it, be fearful for it, and strive to think about it day and night? Because if that's you, I can almost guarantee you're going to be living from that first place, misery, pain, suffering, and pretty unconscious place, right? But if you have an attitude that says, you know what, whatever happens in this world, I'm going to overcome it. I'm going to challenge it. It's going to challenge me. And life is going to get better and better as a result of that. When you choose to put your attention on that reality and you start to focus on what you want to create instead of what you don't want, then I can tell you that you will have freedom from worry, from stress, from disempowering states of consciousness that are stopping you from being all who you can be. See, you know, there's an ancient prophecy says that as within, so without, right? As you believe, so you manifest. You know, the mind is either the cause of your bondage, or your mind, how you use it, will be the cause of your freedom, the cause of your liberation. And if you want to have more freedom in your life, then I encourage you to listen to this show on an ongoing basis. And also, I just want to let you know, I have a new book that we're launching that I've been talking to you about for a long time on the show. Now we're going to actually launch this book. We're going to put it out in the world in a formal way. And it's coming up on December the 5th. So put on your calendar, December the 5th. I'm having a super launch with some of my best-selling authors. Some of the key speakers in the nation will be there. Got some politicians showing up. Got some really cool people. And guess what? You're not only going to get to, you know, listen to them, you're going to get to network with them. So I'm setting it up so that you get to connect with some of the most powerful people on the planet. I hope you'll take me up on that, and I hope you'll listen to that. Because if you do, what's going to happen is your life and your business is going to change. So save the date. More to come on this show. Also, you can go to courage2change.us to find out more information about the celebration and the launch of the Courage to Change Everything book. And the subtitle of that book is Daily Strategies and Essential Wisdom to Awaken Your Inner Genius. How cool would that be? All right. I'd like to introduce my first guest, and then I'm going to have to go to a break, but I want to introduce him first. So as an American Association of University, let me start that over. Kate Nielsen is the Director of Public Policy and Legal Advocacy for the American Association of University Women. And And Kate drives the organization's advocacy and legal work. She leads the AAUW's policy and government relations work at the federal, state, and local levels, devises AAUW's grassroots field strategy, oversees the organization's national voter education to get out votes campaign, and manages the AAUW's legal advocacy fund, among other things. She's appeared on the Washington Post, BBC, Miami Herald, WGN, and other outlets talking about the issues that are impacting women and girls in education in the workplace. I also have Robin Lynn Kagan, and Robin also has spent the last, she spent the last 8 years with the American Association of University Women, and has been on the board as a program co-chair, membership co-chair, and now is co-president for 2021. So they're both joining me today. Ladies, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here, and hoping we can get you on screen here. Very good. Okay. So welcome. I'm so happy to have you both. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
That's great. Well, listen, I'm really interested in the organization, and that's why I'm having you on the show. I think, anybody that's about women advocacy, especially in this time, this day and age, of course, you guys have been doing the organization been around since 1881, but what you're doing today is fantastic. So we're going to take a deep dive into that. I got to take a break, but we'll be right back, and then we'll take a deep dive into exactly what you're doing to empower women in these times, these troubled times, really.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kalima in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kalima, a place for transformation.
I'm a diabetic. I need to maintain healthy glucose levels so I can live normally and still enjoy my day-to-day life. Kirlin is a 100% natural supplement that helps me do exactly that. Kirlin promotes healthy glucose levels, energy, sleep, and proper body function. I try to make the right choices, but Kirlin keeps me controlled even if I indulge in a naughty treat here and there. It's how I plan to stick around for my family.
Get $20 off Kirlin. Visit KuraLife.com and use coupon code COURAGE.
Well, back to the show. The Courage to Fight for Our Freedom is the name of the show. Kate and Robin, I'm so glad you're here. You know, the American Association of University Women has been fighting for women's freedom since, I said, 1881, I believe. And that's awesome. That's really great. Can you tell us a little bit about the American Association of University Women, and who would like to handle that?
Sure. Thanks so much again for having us. Happy to get the conversation started and then turn it over to Robin. As you said, we were founded in 1881 by a group of like-minded women who were interested in advancing equity, particularly educational equity for women and girls. So we are on the precipice of our 140th anniversary and going as strong as ever. We have over 170,000 members and supporters who work together to empower women and girls, which is really exciting, important work. We work on a number of different issues. We within the policy realm, which is what I'm happy to talk more about, we work on economic security, education, civil rights. But then the larger organization has a number of different programs. And we're actually one of the largest educational granting organizations for women. So we've offered more than $115 million in fellowships to support graduate education over the years. And we engage in a number of different programs to help support the learning of women and girls. So really empowering women in a number of different angles. And I'm happy to turn over to Robin to talk a little bit about what members, Robin is a member and can speak to some of the great activities and engagement that our members partake in.
I love that. Well, you know, before we get into some of the activities that members are doing, because I'm sure it's a lot, I'm just curious, what would you say in either one, Robin or Kate, take this? What do you think the greatest challenge facing women today in the workplace, or actually maybe at home and in the workplace?
Well, I think, especially during COVID times, those two things have merged into one. And we need to make sure that we are offering supports, not just to women, but to families in general, to be able to work in workplaces free from harassment, with appropriate supports in terms of childcare, so that they are able to go to work. And again, that's not just for women. Men need to have these same supports and access, because if men have these supports and freedoms, that helps women. And then to be paid equitably for the work that they're doing. So it's a whole host of different policies that are sort of intertwined to be able to support and empower women and families.
And let me ask you this too, real quick. What types of women show up to be part of the organization? Like who is this organization for? Kate, Robin, why don't you take that?
Well, it is fun to be involved. It is a vibrant group. And what's really inspiring is being around women who've been members for 40 plus years, some of them, and the work that they've been committed to since they were in their, maybe their 30s. So that's very inspiring. Also, a lot of times women who are just retiring and haven't really had as much social time as they would have liked, this is a great way to pursue some activism and really feel you're doing something for not just your community, but really all women, all girls. And that's powerful. I personally have always been paid the same as a man, but I know my sisters and, you know, nieces and daughters, their chances of that aren't very good right now. So who's going to make that happen? It's women. And I think that community, that camaraderie and that, you know, feeling of banding together and the power of numbers is really strong. So it could be a retired woman, but it could also be a working woman who knows firsthand that they're not getting paid fairly. So we really have a wide range. Our youngest member in our branch is 28.
Oh my goodness. That's great. Yeah. Well, you know, it sounds like you've got a lot of members in a lot of different places. So you're doing a variety of advocacy for women. Can you talk about some of the ways that you engage with the members and, the benefits of the membership?
Yeah, absolutely. So our members are what make us unique, and give our policies voice. And so we work really hard to provide information to our members about the issues and policies of the day, keep everyone abreast of what's going on, but then also trainings on how to be good advocates, as well as quick and easy advocacy opportunities so folks can take action at the drop of a dime whenever it's most needed.
You know, that you just said something, how to be a good advocate. How do you become a good advocate? I think that's a unique ability for most people.
So I think a lot of people are really intimidated by the notion of being an advocate. Mm-hmm. And while I understand that, everyone can be and is an advocate. It can be as simple as talking to your friends about the issues that you're passionate about to spread education. It can be picking up the phone and calling your elected officials. And that does not just mean the president or your senator. Local politics, state politics matter so much. It can mean writing a letter to the editor. It can be a bake sale and tabling to let folks know what's going on in your community. There's really a lot of different inroads depending on your comfort and your abilities. But having your voice heard and making your mark is the most important thing.
That's really good. So what would you say some of the top priorities right now around policy is, Kate?
So we work on a host of different issues, but economic security, education, and civil rights are sort of our bread and butter and where we focus the most, particularly around student debt relief. We focus on strengthening Title IX to make sure that women and girls have access to an equal education, pay equity, paid leave, ending harassment in the workplace, and currently making sure that everyone has the right to vote and access to do so.
That's great. I want to talk to you, Robin, on this question. I want to know what it's like at a local chapter and what a woman can experience at the local chapter. But I got to take a break, so we'll come right back and we'll take a little deep dive into that too.
Sounds good.
Out to make a difference? Do you need results? Wasabi Publicity is the perfect PR team to help you take your message to the next level. Recognized by PR Week and Good Morning America for innovative practices, Wasabi works with authors, speakers, and organizations committed to doing good in the world. Wasabi believes conversations change the world. Stories you share shape how you think, feel, act, and how you experience life. Ask yourself if your website, social media, and PR coverage reflect the stories you wish to share in the world. Are you making the difference you want to make? Do you have the results you wish to have? Kendi Foster, Voices of Courage radio show host, says Wasabi is the best in the business, period. Schedule a complimentary PR consultation with Wasabi CEO Drew Gerber at publicityresults.com.
Today, women in business are helping each other prosper like never before by overcoming stereotypes, networking together, and sharing essential resources. Since 1991, Women's Wisdom, the premier business networking organization for purpose-driven, soul-inspired entrepreneurs, has helped women grow their businesses and become the best version of themselves. Women's Wisdom hosts online events with celebrity speakers, best-selling authors, and business experts dedicated to helping you, the small business owner, expand your possibilities, build new relationships, and get the right referrals. Take your business to the next level and join Women's Wisdom at womenswisdom.net. That's womenswisdom.net.
Well, I'd like to thank all of you for joining us, and special thanks for all those right now who are on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and some of our also social media platforms. I know you're out there and you're tweeting and you're sharing the show, and we really want to thank you for that. Also want to let you know that if you want any of the replays of the show, you can go to voicesofcourage.us to get the replays. While you're there, I encourage you to join our Insiders Club, where you're going to have exclusive access to some of the guest interviews after the show. Some of the guests give us gifts to give away to you, and you will get additional information to really take your business and your life to the next level. So I hope you'll check that out. All righty. Listen, I've got two amazing guests today, Kate Nielsen and Robin Lynn Kagan. They're both with the American Association of University Women. And right now I was going to ask Robin a little bit of what is it like? She has a local chapter. You're involved with that, right, Robin? What's it like for a woman to win with a chapter experience? What can she look forward to?
You know, I really wanted to say thank you, and I didn't have a chance earlier, but this is so great, Ken, and thank you again for having us on. Reaching women, it's a wonderful feeling to be in a group with other women. And I wanted to add one thing to what Kate was just talking about as far as being an advocate. We do have, I believe it comes through on a text. It's called the 2-Minute Activist. So when issues are coming up that AUW cares deeply about, and so, of course, do all the members, it's a way for us to respond. And it can come in an email or a text. And anyway, so I wanted to mention that because that helps you feel tied in to the greater purpose of the group. And that's very rewarding as a member. I think we get a lot of benefit from the speakers we have. We have our meetings on a Saturday morning. So as somebody who works full time, it's been a great way to feel involved and participate. Our speakers have been so diverse and wonderful. The education, you know, on subjects maybe you didn't think you were interested in about Indigenous women right in our local area that you never would have known about. They still live here, you know, and what's been their history, cybersecurity, mental health with the COVID virus, you know, what's happening with families and tools to help us deal with this situation. So they're really powerful programs. They're not just kind of la-di-da, although we do have art museum tours. We've had fundraisers at a winery for wine tasting. And we did have our 100, this branch here in Bellingham, Washington, had our 100-year anniversary. I mean, that's kind of amazing. We were one of the first branches, you know, of AUW, and we had a big vintage fashion show. The ladies wore hats, and really it was quite fun. And folks can go to our website too. We're at auwwatcom.org and see some photos. So we welcome new people all the time, and that's really been the general feeling is we want to keep increasing our reach to help younger women. And the tools that I think we're going to get into a little later about education, I think, are really very valuable.
Well, I was gonna say that, you know, you also, there's some serious topics that you do cover. I mean, there's topics like, you know, pay equality that I know is a big topic, and also education, you know, for women. I'm supposing education for their children at some level, you know, Kate, can you address that a little bit?
Absolutely. We advocate for equal access for all women and girls. And so that starts with very young kids and all the way, not just through higher education, but, you know, graduate education, again, supporting women through scholarships, but also making sure that they're able to access an equal education and not having discrimination or harassment slow anyone down, but also ensuring that girls know about STEM, careers in STEM, which are the fastest growing, and that they are able to access those and aren't sort of discouraged by myths around who is able to do which kinds of work in academics.
You know, it just amazes me that we're even talking about equal pay or educational opportunities for women in this day and age. Why is that? Why are we still talking about this?
So there's a lot of different components and answers to that question.
I'm sure there are, but, you know, give me your top two.
Well, one is we've figured out how discrimination works a lot more. And so we need to pass laws that respond to that. So at the federal level, we're way overdue for an update to the federal law. But the states have really taken it upon themselves to update state laws. And not only is that helpful for the residents of each state, but it allows us to learn a lot about what's working and what doesn't, so that we can expand to other states or roll it up to the federal level. We've just seen an onslaught of state laws over the last 5 years or so, and it's really exciting to see red, blue, and purple states all working to tackle this issue and bringing in new policy ideas on how to do so. It's really exciting to see.
Well, it's exciting to hear because I think it's just like one of those issues that seem that's been with us for so long. It's like, oh, doesn't it end sometime? you know, I think the, you know, you mentioned, you know, about education too, you know. How are you working to make education more accessible and affordable for women?
Well, I can speak a bit about the policy perspective, but I'd love to turn over to Robin to talk a little bit about our programming.
Well, we do have scholarships that we give every year to the local colleges in our county. And that's along with supporting the students for actually a food source. We donate regularly to support the students that are under a lot of hardship for their food. And I did want to mention, because we're talking about really, you know, so much at once here. And the pay equity issue, I just want to mention that we have a free negotiation tool for anyone to go to our website. And it's called Work Smart, Start Smart. And one of our members recently got a much better salary and benefits and a signing bonus using her skills from the negotiation course. And by the way, we have 176,000 women that have taken that course. 70% have gotten a benefit from it. So that's something on the national website. So I want to mention that because it's so strong to give those tools to women. Along with raising money for scholarships, we do, we fundraise every year for middle school girls to go to what's called Tech Trek. And it's a week-long camp at a college campus. And they get to be with professionals that specialize in science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM fields. And I do have some quotes, if we have time, from these girls.
I'm actually kind of running out of time here. So let me get Kate's take on what you were just saying. Kate, go ahead.
Go for it.
Yeah, I'm so glad Robin mentioned a lot of the different activities that we engage in. And on the policy side, we're advocating for strong laws and to implement the laws that are already on the books, because it's not enough just to write good laws. We have to make sure that they're upheld. So Title IX was passed, over 40 years ago, 40 more than that at this point. And it's just been a critical piece to ensuring that women and girls have equal access to education. So we're always working to strengthen it and ensure that everyone knows about it.
Well, you know, I think that's why I brought you on the show. I want everybody to know about you. I want, you know, the American Association of University Women has done some amazing work. You continue to do work. You know, my show's about, you know, the courage to fight for our freedom. And, you know, I can't think of a better organization that's fighting for our freedom and helping people overcome their fears than this organization. So I want to thank both of you for being on the show. I did want to mention that because I do know you're a nonpartisan group. All are welcome. There's no restrictions there is what I realized. And just thank you for being here. I hope you come back again. I hope we can do this again next year. Get that message out even more. I love this interview. It was great.
Thank you so much. And lots of fun.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Got to take a break. And by the way, we'll wrap up the show and I'll ask you a final question for both of you. So stay with us. Okay.
There comes a time when you know you need to restart and regain control of your life. A time to seek freedom from the anxiety, addiction, and other issues that may be bringing you down. A time to heal and reemerge as the real you. Villa Kalima is a holistic residential recovery program exclusively for women for individualized treatment. Villa Kalima offers proven clinical and holistic therapies for the mind, body, and spirit to assure sustainable recovery. Villa Kalima focuses on healing the cause, not temporarily masking symptoms. It's the only way to truly recover and find yourself again. Villa Kalima is located in a beautiful, peaceful, resort-like setting and is a licensed licensed and accredited residential treatment center accepting a variety of health insurances. Start your healing and renewal today by calling Villa Kali Ma in La Costa, California at 760-814-8214. 760-814-8214. Villa Kali Ma, a place for transformation.
Hi, Ken D. Foster here. If you have a dream to create a wellness product, I'd like to tell you about JBK Wellness Labs. They are a respected contract and white label manufacturer who helps entrepreneurs and companies develop and bring to market dietary supplements, hemp-based CBD products, plus personal care and beauty product lines. JBK Wellness products can be found on the shelves of Neiman Marcus, Whole Foods, Urban Outfitters, CVS, Ritz-Carlton Hotels, Four Seasons Hotels, and multinational direct selling companies. JBK Wellness Labs will walk you through each step from concept through finished product. If you'd like to take your next step in getting your product to market, then start your project today by going to jbkwellnesslabs.com or just Google JBK Wellness Labs.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Today, my show is called The Courage to What? The Courage to Fight for our Freedoms, right? Fight for our freedoms. Now, listen, most freedom is an inside job, right? I started the show and we talked about some of the fears that, that stop people, unconscious fears. They're not even aware of them. Well, listen, I'm so happy in this segment because I have the fear expert himself. His name is James Case. He's the author of Fear is a Choice, Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. And he's the host of the live cast and podcast Adventures in Truth. He served for close to a decade as director of aliveness for the Natural Residential Healing Center in Arizona. And he continues to work with clients around the country and around the world. With his program, The Science of Transformation. You know, his passion is truly to help people to achieve transformation and grow their businesses, grow their lives, grow their desires, and really have positive changes in their life. So I'm so happy to welcome him to the show. His name is James Case, and he's here, and he does, we're friends.
Hey, Ken.
When you're not doing this, you're also helping me with the show, so I appreciate it. Great to have you, James.
It's great to be here, Ken. Thanks for having me.
Wow. All right. You got the new book out. You know, it's like the baby has now been born. But yes. We want to know about the baby. You know, what inspired that little book? It's not such a little book. It's a great book. What inspired this book? I have it sitting here right on my desk, by the way. Yes. What inspired this book to come out? You got one, too. All right.
Interesting story, because I'd never intended to write a book. I had a center in San Diego for about 6 years. It was a higher brain living center. It was a process of activating and stimulating the prefrontal cortex of the brain. And my clients would come in on regular. We would spend time pre-session and post-session, and they would say, Jim, you should really write a book. And I'm like, what would I write a book about? I don't even know what to write a book about. This book actually happened on a trip on the way home. I was inspired by it, literally driving down the road, title of the book, pages writing themselves. I'm like, what is going on right now? And flash forward to going through a process of getting it translated, as it were, out of here and down on the page. That took a few months, and once it started flowing, it was incredible. Well,
fear is a choice. Just the title of this book, yeah. Right? You know, it's a lot of people go, oh, that's kind of, what do you mean? Fear is a choice. What do you mean?
Here's what I mean. So fear, actually, we didn't come in afraid. Fear is trained. Fear is something we learned in the process. And it's different from the fight or flight mechanism, that thing that protects us against potential harm. So there are two separate things. So fear is a choice is about recognizing that, one, it's a choice, that it's been trained into our experience. Since you were in the womb, you experience the experiences that your mother has, whatever emotions and feelings and feels, whatever's going on in the environment, those are all feeling and impacting. So what fear is a choice is recognizing that, because as adults, as we become consciously aware of our environment and engaging in all the things that are going on, we're also at the same time being stimulated by a never-ending barrage of fear through commercials and media and news and newspapers and schools and everywhere. We're being inundated with fear.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, you know, I started the show, you know, talking about, you know, there's a lot of people that are unconscious of their own fears. I mean, I see them every day. I look in their eyes in the grocery stores. They're afraid to get close to anybody. I, you know, I don't want to pick on people with masks, but I do see, yeah, I'm an athlete, you know, and I watch people riding their bicycles and jogging with these masks on, knowing that I commend them. I know they probably want to be healthy and they want to help people, but common sense is lacking. And I do believe it's fear driven by the media, most of it. So what say you to that?
I say that part of the deal is you got to learn, and what the book takes us through is by understanding the fears of choice, you have the ability to make fear something that shows up in the field of your awareness as opposed to something that you're reacting to. See, when you change your relationship with fear, it changes everything about your life, because you're not then looking at everything through this lens, which I go like this. If you're looking through the lens of fear, this is about all you can see. When you shift out of that experience of fear into a consciousness of opportunity, you open that vision to the potential and opportunity, all of it that's available to you.
James, do you have to acknowledge that you even have a fear before you can transcend it? I mean, it seems like a lot of people that have unconscious fears they're not really aware of. And and some people have phobias and fears of falling, or fears of claustrophobia, or fears of heights. And they, you know, they're like, well, I don't even need to transcend that.
And some people don't. And it isn't that you can't interact with fear. The challenge with fear in general is that it's a vibration, like everything. I'm very much about life is about energy. So fear is a vibration, a frequency that resonates at a low frequency. So it's kind of dense. It's kind of intense. When you begin to change the relationship with fear, that part of what that process is changing your vibration so that you and fear don't resonate at the same place. When you do that, fear becomes an object to the field of your awareness. So you can be aware that there is something attempting to impinge your consciousness, your awareness, and then you can attend to it, as opposed to this is happening. Oh my gosh, what do I do now? You say, oh, that's happening. How do I want to address it? How do I want to engage it? Or do I even want to engage it? I think about
that. So what you're talking to about, I think people have to be kind of tuned into their, have some feelings, especially us guys. There are women out there that don't have much feeling either, but especially us guys, we need to like tune into our feelings, our emotions. Cause if you can't tune into that, you don't even know when you're fearful or not.
True. I mean, fear is pretty obvious in that when you're feeling afraid, but the things that become up subconscious, it's important to understand how the subconscious works as well. And that's a lot of what the book talks about, is recognizing that your ego, the part of you that is attending to the physical world that you live in, is looking to and is always looking to keep you safe and looking to keep you from harm. Well, we don't live in a world that we're going to walk out of the house and be attacked by a saber-toothed tiger anymore. There are other things that have built into that place, but ultimately we don't live in that place. So it's important to understand that when the ego goes back into the filing cabinet, it's just looking for things to bring forward to show you the evidence of what you think is real. So if you start changing what your perception of reality is, meaning you're not engaging fear, then the things that you start to create and connect to are not associated with fear. They're things that are associated with opportunity, with being able to expand your own experience.
Okay, I get it.
Does that make sense?
I get it. I've got to take a quick break. I want to, before I do, I want to you to tell people where you can get the book. I guess it's right there, adventuresintruth.com. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, adventuresintruth.com. And I'm on Barnes & Noble. You can order on Amazon. Kindle is available, all of those. And the links for all of that are on my website.
Okay, good. Well, listen, when I come back, I want to talk about the impact of resistance and the importance of understanding its effects. So we'll be right back. Well, listen, I have some favorite organizations that I want to tell you about, because I think if you're a person on a quest to better yourself, to better your life, to become the maximize your full potential while you're here on this planet and really have the joy and love and understanding that you really are longing for in this world. In other words, it's called wisdom. Why is wisdom important? Because we make really good choices from wisdom, right? And if you make better choices, you have a better life. So listen, there's a couple of stations out there, actually networks that I'm on, that I want you to be aware of. One's called UK Health Radio. One is called BBS Radio. And one is Talk Radio New York City. All three of these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve your problems, tune into your wisdom, and have more joy and happiness in your life. How cool is that? Where do you find them? UKHealthRadio.com, TalkRadio.nyc, and BBSRadio.com. Also, I wanted to mention again, encourage you to join the Voices of Courage Insiders Club. You can go to VoicesOfCourage.us. to join our insiders clubs. You'll get gifts, you'll give some giveaways, you get some special interviews with our guests. So a lot of cool things there. And most importantly, you'll be able to stay subscribed to us, and we'll let you know about the upcoming shows. How cool is that? So you can find that at voicesofcourage.us. Again, voicesofcourage.us. All righty. Now, my guest today is James Case, and James has a new book out. It's called The Fear is a Choice, and it's Unraveling the Illusion of Our Separation from Love. James, I want to dive into this this resistance piece that you talk about a little bit. So let's talk about that.
Hey. All right, talking about resistance. So one of the greatest things in the element of fear is resistance. And what I mean by that, resistance is anywhere that you feel a push or a pull about anything you're experiencing in your life. The amazing thing about uncovering resistance is that we have it everywhere. Because we are really in dealing with all of these various major things happening in the world, as well as what's happening in our own life, there's a lot of confusion and a lot of I don't know and what am I going to do. And so that creates resistance, because we want to push against, we want to fight against those things we don't understand. And what I want to encourage you to do in changing your relationship with fear is finding that quiet place, finding the place where you don't have to have reaction to what you're observing, but that you can engage it and then decide how you want to respond to it. And when you do that, you eliminate resistance from the equation. Because when you, for instance, a perfect example is the election. I think you talked about this earlier. If you think about the election from the fact of what happens if this person gets it or what happens if that person gets it, it creates a dynamic of resistance. It creates a push-pull energy. Rather than sitting back and observing the process, making a decision, whatever you feel in your heart and your own experience is going to best serve you and the world around you, you can take that down to the personal level too. Whenever you're engaged in anything I find is a basis of my experience. It's either energy up or energy down. So if I'm going to engage in something and it feels good and I'm being uplifted, there's not resistance in that process. There's a feeling of forward motion. There's a feeling of engagement. Those are the things that I step into immediately. If I experience something where my energy drops or my energy falls out of the bottom, I stop, because what's happening in that moment is a form of resistance. Something about whatever I'm trying to understand or connect with, I don't know enough, I need to learn more, I need more information. So I step back and I let the resistance go, so that I can be informed by what it is that's trying to inform me by that trigger, as it were.
Well, that's a real conscious way of approaching life. I think a lot of times when people feel like something, you know, that I'll give you an example. You're at a corporate meeting and somebody comes to you and they look at you a certain way and you think, oh, gosh, that person's always upset with me or they make it about me. And, you know, you're like, oh, I'm resistant to talking to that person. I didn't want to connect with them now. Right. And so you pull back, which breaks communication, breaks conversation. I guess where I'm going with that is, you know, within all of us and in your book, you talk about this spark that leads us from the allaboutme.com to this we mentality. Can we talk a little bit about that?
So yeah, I loved your reference there. That was fabulous. The allaboutme.com. That's fantastic. So in real world situations, guys, you're going to be confronted at times with things you're not prepared for or don't know what to do with. A lot of this changing relationship with fear is becoming conscious of your relationship with it. How that happens is exactly like Ken's example. You're in an interactive situation. You're experiencing something that doesn't feel good. You're not sure why. You still have to engage. Those situations typically require some reflection. It could be in the moment that if you have done the work in your own sphere, that you can see that that's happening and you can address it in the moment right there. You can notice that that person's not the enemy, that person's not out to get whatever it is. You may be able to do that. But if you can't in the moment, that's okay. It's a reflective process that allows you to go back and say, wow, I let me look at this. I reacted to this person in such and so fashion. I had this negative response. What's driving that response? Do I need to talk with them or is this my thing? Is this a me thing that I just have to resolve my own energy? Or is there something that can be gained by the two of us coming together to resolve it? But that's, you know, again, that's it's an individual situation.
You know what I love about this conversation, Jim? It's what I've been doing for 20 something years, not only in my coaching practice with others, but in my own life. And it's when I feel that disempowering, I call it just that disempowering feeling. Mm-hmm. What's disempowering to me? It might be different than you, but you know, when I'm feeling this, you know, maybe a sense of upset or a sense of frustration or a sense of maybe even anger or a sense of I'm kind of afraid of this, that generally lowers my energy field and I pay attention. A lot of times for me, I take it the next step and I ask myself, well, what would a person have to believe to have that experience? Because I want to know my own beliefs, my own what's going on inside. And I can't tell you how many times just asking that simple question has transitioned everything. It's transitioned me out of fear into a place of empowerment.
Exactly.
You know, it's let's just talk about how do we surrender our fears, okay, to a greater experience.
Good question. So surrender is an interesting thing because I don't think we surrender fear. I think we surrender our viewpoint. I think we surrender our perspective because it is the perspective that we're holding that is the focus that we're holding that is creating that dynamic tension. It's creating that resistance. It's not creating the fear per se. It's creating the reaction to the fear. So,
but my perception is always right. I'm like, no, I'm right. They're wrong. Okay. I'm right. You're wrong. I mean, that's my point of view. How do we change that? Right.
Again, it's the surrender piece is about acknowledging where you are. And if where you are is not going to get you where you want to go, surrender is not about giving up to something else. It's saying, you know, this isn't serving what I want to achieve or what I want to create. So again, in the dynamic of energy, in the dynamic of frequency, you have to put your attention on some other frequency, on some other vibration that you want to bring forward. As long as your attention is in fear, that's where your energy will go. So change the focus. If you're, as an individual, if you're holding this energy of I'm always right, you're already in resistance. You're already in fear. You're already in holding that energy in place. So the act of surrender is to acknowledge that maybe I don't know everything. Maybe I don't have everything. Maybe there's more, even if you don't want to go that direction. Maybe there's more I could learn that I don't yet know. And so frame it positively. So you're saying, okay. direction, which is a direction that's away from being in fear. It's a direction of, I want to be over here, somewhere that's more uplifting, somewhere that's going to serve and help me and help the people around me interact with me better.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, you know what? What we're really talking is self-awareness and being more aware of the thoughts that are passing through our mind and the emotions that those thoughts are creating within our own being. So I like that a lot. I think, you know that I've been a decades long meditator, right? You know, that for me, that was the end all be all, because once I learned how to meditate, I learned how to master my mind, master my emotions, and be able to live a lot more joyfully. I used to be all over the map. I mean, I would lose a pencil and I'd get upset. I mean, that's where I started from.
Yeah.
So, but that's a big piece of my life. What are the illusions around meditation, and how do we develop an effective daily practice? Because I know you're a meditator too.
Yeah, I am.
And I think that ties in a lot to what we're talking about here.
It does. Setting that daily practice, here's the thing. We are 7.5 billion unique sparks of creation. Each of us has a story. Each of us has a source story, as it were. Meaning we came into the world, we came into a family, we came into a society, we learned a whole bunch of things, we built a whole bunch of experiences. And out of that now, we have the ability to create a foundation to raise our vibration. And the reason I went through all of that is to really have you recognize that you're unique in the process. There is not a wrong way to approach it. There are lots of tools out there to help you find where your juice zone is. Whether you go into transcendental meditation, whether you go into kundalini meditation, whether you just choose to create a meditative space in your own right based on what you understand of your own vibration, all of it's good. The trick is doing it. The trick is recognizing that the purpose of getting quiet is not to do battle with your mind. The illusion is that you're going to battle your mind. The reality is you're just surrendering your mind to a greater experience, which means we don't put our focus there. We put our focus where we want to be, not where we think we are. And again, the meditation lays the foundation. The illusion or the myths of meditation is that you have to do it a certain way. And I don't believe that's true. I believe that we all find a way to juice up our energy, to spin up our vibration that's deeply satisfying. Some people run. Some people hike. Some people go into the woods and sit under trees. Some people prefer to be by water. Some prefer to lay on a yoga mat. There's lots of options there, but make sure that you're picking options that are stimulating that upliftment in your own energy and that you can feel it and that you know that when you walk out of that situation, you are in an altered state. You are in a state that is no longer resonating at that fear level.
Well, I really like what you're saying. You know, for people that are just starting this process, it really is important to allow yourself to explore. That's kind of where we started the show from. It's time to explore some new options for yourself. And listen, you will know, just as I learned and Jim learns, we know within ourselves, all of us have this thing called intuition or a gut feeling. So we know what is right for us. We know what's wrong. Just pay attention. Don't turn your power over to somebody that is saying, I got the way and this is my way, but it doesn't feel right to you. If it doesn't feel right, just move on. I think that's what he's saying. So be willing to explore and take your life into a new direction. Jim, I'm out of time. I got to just say goodbye. One last thing. I do want to tell everybody to get the book, Fear is a Choice, adventuresintruth.com. Again, adventuresintruth.com. I did want to bring my two guests back on the stream real quick. And thank you all for being a part of this. Robin, thank you so much. Kate, thank you so much. This has been a really great experience with all of us. And, you know, I'm going to, let's see, I've got 5 seconds real quick. What's your message to the world, Kate?
Use your voice for good. Be a strong advocate for the issues you care about.
God, Robin, quick.
Participate. And thank you, Ken, for what you're doing. It's really powerful. Thank you.
All right, Jim, message to the world. You got 2 seconds.
Every day, find your joy. Every day, find your joy.
Thanks for joining us for Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster. Learn more about Ken, how to be a guest on the show, and sponsorship opportunities by visiting voicesofcourage.us. And we're always interested in what you have to say. So follow Ken on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or email your questions and comments to viewer@voicesofcourage.us. Also, you can find all of Ken's previous shows by visiting voicesofcourage.us. Be sure to join us next time as Ken brings more stories of courage that will inspire greatness within you and change your life for the better. Until next time, live courageously and see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and do the impossible. This has been Voices of Courage with Ken D. Foster.